Sales at U.S. retailers dropped in July for the first time in 5 months as record gasoline prices and tighter credit reduced automobile purchases. Labor figures showed that import prices rose 1.7% in July from the previous month, more than economists had projected, after a 3% increase in June. That led one economist to tell Bloomberg Media that the U.S. is now in the midst of a long-term trend in inflation. Joe Brucellis from Merck Investments in Palo Alto says, "We can't sugarcoat this. It's not a good thing." Americans are buying fewer cars as gas prices soar. The Commerce Department said sales at auto dealers and parts stores dropped 2.5% after industry figures earlier this month showed the weakest annual pace of buying since 1993. Bloomberg also reports that spending growth in the year that ended in June was the slowest since the 12 months through December of 1991. One positive aspect, however, of high oil prices is that people are driving less and using public transportation more. The U.S. Transportation Department reports that Americans drove nearly 10 billion fewer miles in May of this year than in 2007. Mark Zandi is an economist with Moody's.com and the author of the new book, Financial Shock, a 360-degree look at the subprime mortgage implosion and how to avoid the next financial crisis. In the first of a two-part interview, Zandi says that Americans' behavior may be permanently changed because of the current concerns over high oil prices.
I think people do get it. When we went over $4 for a gallon of gasoline on average nationwide, I think that was a clear signal that that things are different and will be different going forward. Now prices are down, and oil and gasoline is now back down to $3.80 for a gallon of gasoline. But I think people do realize that in the long run, prices are going to be high, and they do need to change the way they operate, the kind of cars they buy, and how much energy they use. So I think there has been a sea change in people's thinking about the cost of energy and their use of energy.
In May and June, the Tampa Bay area where we're broadcasting from led Florida in job losses. And in the past year, Florida posted the most job losses in the entire country. In fact, according to Department of Labor statistics, the Tampa-St. Pete-Clearwater area lost the most jobs in the country next to the Riverside-San Bernardino, Ontario metro area in Southern California. Overall, Mark Zandi, when you look at Florida here, because we've been so rocked by the foreclosure crisis, certainly, do you see Florida continue to struggle here overall the next year or so?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough, certainly 6 months, probably 12, 18 months. The housing downturn is ongoing in full swing. There's a lot of problem mortgage loans to work through, I don't see this abating anytime soon. So I think the Tampa area and Florida more broadly are going to be front and center in the national economy's problems. It's really, in a sense, ground zero for the housing downturn.
When the economy, I guess last fall was when we really saw the situation with the subprime crisis, and then earlier this year, you know, you talk to economists about whether we're in a recession or not. It seems like most people seem like we are, even statistically, we are not. But again, the Wall Street Journal reported last week that mortgages issued in the first half of 2007 were going bad at a pace that far outstripped the 2006 vintage, suggesting that the blow to the financial system from housing woes is much deeper than many people earlier estimated. Do we really have a full grasp of how bad it is actually right now to see when it could be better?
Well, obviously it's tough because house prices keep falling, and as long as house prices are falling, the greater the odds that people are going to go bad on their mortgages, and it's going to create problems for the financial system, which tightens up credit, and it's all very self-reinforcing, and that's what they're in the middle of. So it's very difficult to gauge. I do think, though, there are some growing indications that early signs that some positive developments are occurring, that we're working through these problems, that we're making some progress in restoring housing affordability and working off the inventory that's weighing on the market. So there are some, in all this darkness, there's some positive, hopeful things that are beginning to occur. And I do think that while Tampa and Florida will be kind of caught in this for quite some time, much of the rest of the nation should be on firmer ground by this time next year.
We're speaking with Mark Zandi. He's the author of the new book, Financial Shock. And you write that while nearly every event feels like the most important ever when you're close to it, you really seem confident that this subprime crisis will be judged as one of the most significant financial events in our lifetimes. Why so?
Yeah, I think so. Both in part because of the losses involved. I think when it's all said and done, investors will lose about $1 trillion, which puts it on a whole other level compared to any other financial crisis we've experienced. In terms of its breadth, it's touched every corner of the financial system. It's not just mortgages, it's credit cards, it's student loans, it's vehicle loans, it's small business loans. And now in terms of its length, this thing started over a year ago, and it's still going. And that is unprecedented. Most crises, they last days, maybe weeks, a couple months, but a year plus, that's something we have not seen. And so both with regard to its severity, its breadth, its length, I think this is in a league of its own.